Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Well, if you set your clocks, then yes, it is time for Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Casanova here, your host, for another exciting episode, and just in our beautiful Peachtree Offices studio. I don't normally sit on this side of the desk. I'm usually where Ryan, where you're at, our engineer producer.
Great view, isn't it?
It is. It's like I've just gotten the $5 view, but now it's $1 million view. Yeah,
it certainly. It's cold out there today, but it's hot in here with some good business talk.
We're talking about the view, and we're on radio, So, but meanwhile, excited. We got some great guests in the studio. I'll just have you say hi real quick and introduce yourself to our listeners. Leslie, you're joining us. Leslie Cuban with Franet joining us this morning. How are you?
Hi, great. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you enjoying the cold weather so far, or
I'm over it.
All right.
Day one, and she's over.
All right. And Amy Self, you're with Capstone Financial.
Yes. Okay. Good morning.
How is your day so far?
Great.
Okay, but it's just going to get a little bit better, right?
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show. We'll be hearing about all things money, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and talking money and franchising. That's we're on a theme already, Ryan. Yeah.
So far, so good.
I say we quit while we're ahead. Can we do that or no?
No, we still got some time.
Oh, dang it! The other guests are like, really? Oh, and then Karen Reynolds is joining us from ZBoost.
Yes, thank you.
I was kind of looking at your gadget on the website and kind of intrigued to hear your story. And so we're going to be hearing about that this morning. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Chicago, so I'm kind of used to this cold
weather. So we're going to we're anxious to move further south. You're good or whatever, right?
Exactly.
And then our first guest up on the air is Rick Griffin. And Rick, how are you this morning?
I'm good. All right.
And speaking of Chicago and Atlanta, that's nothing to you, right? I mean, that's just like you can do that in a half a day with your travels.
Yeah, Chicago. That's quick. That's a quick flight. An hour and 30 minutes.
Not bad.
We're going to hear about your business, but is there any countries on your short list you haven't visited yet, or you checked them all off?
Oh, no, there's a whole – I've never been to South America or Africa. Those are two continents that I've still on my bucket list.
Okay, well, you got about five continents ahead of me or whatever, yes. So, Rick, now you're the founder and creator and co-host of Midlife Road Trip. Unscripted food travel adventure series, and your website we'll be talking about midliferoadtrip.tv was named Deluxe Insider the best travel blogs for 2014. Also named by TripIt is one of the 15 most travel blogs for 2014. You've been designated as a travel media group for one of the top 20 Twitter travel experts.
Wow!
Right. So and it includes Anthony Bourdain, Andrew Zimmern. Rick, you've also been one of the Huffington Post 39 Inspiring Men. You just cracked the top 40, didn't you?
Oh, that's right.
Congratulations on that. Yeah. All right, and then finally, you've been featured in a variety of media, including daytime television, BBC Travel, USA Today, and now Radio X. You've arrived, dude. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, it doesn't get any better than this. This is amazing. The pinnacle right here.
Hey, game over. Nice. Good answer. All right, so some pretty exciting stuff. Probably one of the more unique spins on guests for business radio. Usually we're talking B2B, but you have quite a following. So how long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this about 5 years since we started, just kind of part-time, just threw the idea out there.
Yeah.
And it kind of evolved organically. We've built a good following, and we're traveling all over the world because of it.
So, you were inspired by, you hit midlife, or what was the impetus behind it?
Yeah, I'd actually had a life-threatening illness a few years ago, and it was kind of my wake-up call. It served to kick off my midlife crisis, so I wanted to pursue my bucket list after that. So, we started, met a friend, my co-host, Sandy McKenna. She's from Tampa, Florida. My wife and I flew down, and we kind of hashed out with Sandy some ideas for the show, and we put a pilot together, threw it on the web, and it was well received, and we started getting invitations to come a lot of different places.
It is something like when you have that awakening, a lot of people don't necessarily respond to it or take action or whatever, right? It's like it kind of comes and goes, and you lose that moment. So, I mean, you basically took action.
It's so easy. You know, I've had a bucket list for a long time, even before this, and, you know, it's always easy just to keep putting things off. Life gets in the way, so you've got to intentionally try to pursue those things, you know, because you never know How long you have?
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people ask you this, but I got to ask you as well. So what, you know, if you had to put a short list together of a few or the highlight, what's one of the best trips, I guess, that comes to mind?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I love Alaska.
Really?
Alaska, yeah. If you like wildlife at all, I mean, I saw more wild. We were there last summer, and we saw more wildlife in 1 week than I had the rest of my life collectively. And so I mean, just whales breaching and fluking and bears and eagles.
Watch your language here, fluking there. Whatever.
Fluke, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fluke. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. So Alaska, so Karen from Chicago, it'd be a day in the park up
it
there in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
But now, but you were there in summer, right?
Yeah, 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 we were there in August.
You'd have to be kind of insane to go there during the winter, yeah.
Yeah, I love Alaska. I'm not sure I want to go in the winter, though.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So so now these places you've been to, do you go back to some of them more than once, or you try to kind of check them off the list? Or
We check them off the list, but we go, as our business model, we are invited by different convention and visitors bureaus for the most part, and we will kind of do a package to help them create a social media buzz.
Yeah, that's kind of my next question, speaking of business, because we're business radio. So, everybody's, I think most people would be on their list is love to travel and, you know, would do cruises and travel around the world. But you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
In your case, did you put these two together? I mean, is it a business? It's not just for social or for fun, right? I mean, how do you make your money?
It's a business. I mean, it started out more just kind of social fun,
sure,
to check stuff off your list. But then we started seeing ways that we could actually monetize it. And Sandy, my partner, and I, we both have backgrounds and video production, so we will shoot videos of the different destinations,
okay,
that we go, and sometimes the CVB will buy it from us, sometimes they'll want something very specific, other times we'll take these segments that we shoot and we'll sell them to different syndicated television shows.
I wouldn't even thought about that. I thought like you'd make money off subscribers or people, viewers, or
yeah, we don't even have any advertising on our website.
Really?
It's more there just for our followers.
Wow. That is kind of an interesting spin on the business model. So so speaking of social media, I mean, what are your go-to platforms, or where do you see most of your traffic, or are there other ones to incorporate? Or
no, the whole adventure started on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, and we've built a huge following because of Twitter. We've been all over the world. That's where, you know, nobody knows about our blog or anything, unless, you know, you have some way to share that with them.
So how many followers on Twitter?
I think collectively, Sandy and I have over 100,000.
Jeez, wow. That's crazy. Well, we're one of the followers of your 100,000 or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if that counts for anything or not. But yeah. And so, but Facebook obviously would be a good go-to, right? Or,
yeah, Facebook's good. We're involved in Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. There's so many. I really wish there weren't so many.
I know, exactly.
You kind of spread you thin.
Right. But, yeah, probably not on LinkedIn or,
Yeah, we're on LinkedIn. We don't do much with it, but we're there.
So. Yeah. And so for those people that have traveled and or want to travel, you know, in the foreseeable future here, what are some, do you have some tips for travelers, ideas for them to save money or take, you know, to best take advantage of the trip?
Oh, absolutely. Use your smartphone, for one. There's some really cool apps that you can save money with. We like the Expedia app. You can bundle your airfare, your hotel, and your rental car, and you can save a lot of money with that. Also, it has a geolocation feature. So, you know, when we're doing an actual road trip, it will pick up where we are, and then we can, you know, just tap in, and it'll, you know, find the best
deals
for
Expedia?
Us. That's an Expedia app.
What do you think about Priceline?
Priceline, I'm sure they've got – I haven't used their app, but I'm sure they're probably good as well. Like Yelp, far as finding places to eat and read the reviews,
nice.
You know. So
true,
there's so much on your smartphone.
Yeah, Yelp would probably be great because you're traveling these foreign countries or even throughout the U.S. You're not, you know, you don't know anybody there, which is another thing. I mean, do you meet folks, obviously, along your journey? I mean, you must have some great stories.
That's one of the coolest things about wherever we go, we know somebody there. And oftentimes we'll meet up with them for coffee that they've followed us and they know that we're in town.
And that comes back to social media. So how does that, what's the mechanics of that, like a day-to-day? So if you're, what's your next trip?
Next trip, we're going to Europe. We're going to go down the Danube on a Viking River cruise from Nuremberg to Budapest.
Okay.
And so we're already tweeting about that we're coming. So, and we've got some people that we've talked to in Austria that want to see us when we're there.
And that's the thing, like on the cruise, so you'll just organically meet a lot of people on board, but are you going to be staying in Budapest then or in Austria or
No, we're actually going to stay on the ship the whole time. But yeah, each day we'll be in a different port, and we'll get out and go explore.
So does that work then? So when you send out a tweet, you're going to be in Budapest. Do you have people there waiting for you, waving their flags or whatever? Or yeah,
I don't know about Budapest. I've never been before, but you know, we have had that in some places.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
I think Jeff Foxworthy, that's the Jeff Foxworthy line, Budapest or whatever, right? there's a line in there somewhere. We'll work on that, yeah. Ryan, see if you can have come up with something before the end of the show, yeah.
Internet sleuthing right now.
All right, nice. So, so we covered social media. So what's next on your bucket list?
You know, I still want to do a cattle drive, like in City Slickers.
Okay.
That's been on my list for a long time. I haven't done that. And just this past summer, I did a thing for Can-Am, you know, the motorcycle thing with two wheels in the front and one in the back. I did a series of road trips from Atlanta for them. They let me have one for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
This year, I'm gonna pitch to them. They pitched to me last time. I'm going to pitch to them. I want to do a cross-country trip on it. I did it just because it was a paying gig.
Right.
But I fell in love with the thing, and I want to do a cross-country trip on one.
Because with that kind of follower traffic, I imagine that's where you can kind of get sponsors that would basically, you know, comp you a lot of stuff or whatever, right?
And, yeah.
You know, help pay for the trip as well.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. Unfortunately, we get too much food. You know, I've gained about 15 pounds since we started this adventure.
Oh, wow. Nice. And what percentage breakdown, if you could, like on domestic versus international?
It's probably been about 80% domestic in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right now, and then a little more international.
Because I was talking about Priceline. I don't know. It's been a while, but I don't know if I guess they have an app. But I did a couple of years ago. Not to this scale, but it was in 6 weeks. I was in 38 states in the U.S. in 6 weeks. And every city I'd show up, I didn't know anybody, but I'd go on Priceline, and you could just book your hotel right there in real time and get smoking deals or whatever. But I didn't travel internationally, mostly for legal reasons, but that's another show. So, all right. So, what else is on the horizon besides trips? Oh, talking about trips, do you do like a theme? Do you have like an objective when you set out to like, you know, like you mentioned, like a you know, a specific adventure, or is it just the destination?
Yeah, well, usually when destinations bring us out, they'll kind of have an agenda of what they want us to feature about their particular location.
Okay.
So we'll go out and tweet about that, and we do it a lot real time, so we'll take pictures, and so our audience can kind of follow us as we're on the adventure, and then they can look forward to blog post or video when we get back.
Nice. And so meanwhile, tell our listeners what's the best way to get in touch with you and find out about all your adventures and join the Rick Griffin Club.
The best way is midliferoadtrip.tv. That's our website, and from there, you can find us on. I'm at Rick Griffin on Twitter and at Midlife Road Trip on Twitter. So
we all need a midlife road trip, don't we? Yeah,
it's therapy for a midlife crisis.
Nice. Well, Rick, it was a pleasure having you here this morning and joining us in the studio. And if time permits, we may have some questions from our panel and other guests as well. So up next, we have Karen Reynolds joining us in the studio, and you're the president of ZBoost.
Yes, I am.
Okay. But beyond that, you have among finalists for Women in Technology, the 2014 Women of the Year in Technology Award, and that just happened recently?
Yes, this past Thursday.
Okay. And so how many, what type of audience, or how many in that?
It was interesting. There was about 700 people in the audience, and there was three different categories, small to emerging, there was mid-size and large companies, and I was a member of the small to emerging company, and I was one of the three finalists.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that right away. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't think I've been a finalist in anything I think of.
It was actually a very interesting venue, too. They held the ceremony at the aquarium here in Atlanta.
I think I saw some photos
really
on that.
It's really a wonderful place. If nobody else has ever been to a venue there, I highly encourage you to do it.
And it's in like their special auditorium area or whatever, right?
It is, the ballroom area where they have the fish swimming around you and everything while they're doing the presentations.
It's kind of behind the scenes, whereas normally if you go on the tour, you see all the fish, but you're on the other side of the aquarium. Yeah,
exactly.
It's pretty slick. Okay, so now moving forward, so under your leadership, tell us about ZBoost cell phones.
ZBoost is a leading provider of cell phone signal boosters. We provide units for both in-building, in-home, in-office, and also mobile units. And actually, when I was hearing Rick talk, I was thinking in terms of some of his trips, he could really use some of our mobile units for our car units, truck units for some of his vacation trips he's taking. But our units basically take the signal that is outside from the carrier's tower, takes that signal that's in the air that you're already paying for, brings that signal inside to your home, to your office, to your car, and reamplifies that signal or repeats it over and over.
So kind of wherever people have those drop zones, you're
like a drop zone free?
Exactly.
You have a dead zone in your house.
Right.
You know, most homes, basement areas, something
or
like
offices,
that.
Or offices, yeah.
Offices, you're going to have a dead zone somewhere. And that dead zone's created from different things, but you're going to have a dead zone at some point in time. And our units will actually take that signal from outside, again, bring it in, amplify it, and eliminate that dead zone.
Now, speaking of dead zones, is it just my imagination or what? There are certain places you frequent, and you don't get any cell phone signal. Can they put blockers in there, intentional, like in certain facilities, they don't want people on the phone?
No, that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is it's either because of building construction. A lot of times you have your windows, your tinted windows, things of that nature, metal that's used in the building construction, different types of materials used in your building will block the signal.
Okay.
In addition, you're going to have some National Geographic's like type things where you're going to have like your hills, your mountains, things of that will block signal, or even just trees, the foliage from trees. You're going to see that in the summertime, your signal decreases or goes down because of the foliage in the trees, and it may go up again in the wintertime. So it's really natural things that are causing some of the signal problems.
And this isn't your first trip to the rodeo. I mean, you bring over 25 years of operational financial consulting.
Oh, you're telling my age.
Well, I'm just reading the facts, ma'am. But because you have that background in growing the behind the scenes. Tell us a little bit about your background. It's quite lengthy here. So what are some highlights we should know about?
Well, I've typically been involved with entrepreneurial-based companies. I've been involved a lot with startup-type companies and tried to grow them to that next level. ZBoost itself is a 9-year-old company. It was originally founded by a Georgia Tech graduate. Founded from that typical next-door neighbor type thing, saying, why can't I get cell phone signal in my home? Took that as a challenge to create a signal booster and created the company. So this is a type of company that's somewhat my specialty, what I've been with for a number of years.
Right. I don't think there's a solution for this, but one of the big drop zones is elevators. Right? You can't really carry that with you, can you?
No, you...
Plug it into an outlet and the elevator have the long
that
cord.
That would be ideal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. A long electrical cord going up the elevator, yeah.
Yeah, that would be ideal. But no, our units you cannot carry with you in the elevator. They are.
And what do you attribute that to, elevators? Just, is it the movement
the
or again
the construction? A lot of it is the construction.
Yeah, that's why I take the stairs when I'm on the phone, yeah. So when I'm huffing and puffing, that there is a reason for that, right? Okay, so meanwhile, in a layman's terms, I mean, you kind of touched on it, but, you know, what's the engineering behind this? What makes it tick or work?
It's pretty simple. Basically, our kits come completely complete. So you have an exterior antenna, an interior antenna cable, and the base unit with you. You take the exterior antenna and you either mount it in your attic, on your roof, or somewhere where you're getting signal by a window. One of the keys to our product offering is that you do have to have signal somewhere outside.
Sure.
So you mount your antenna somewhere where you're getting signal, you position it in such a way that you're bringing that signal in, runs it through a coax cable, you attach a coax cable to both the exterior antenna and to the base unit. Coax cable can be put in through your home through a simple thing, a little accessory we sell that's like a window adapter for it, so you don't even have to drill holes anymore.
Okay.
Put it underneath your window, bring it in, attach it to the base unit, and then again, that base unit is going to amplify that signal. It is just going to take the signal and repeat it over and over to create basically a cell zone for you within your home, within your building. You know, it's perfect for like coffee shop type scenarios,
yeah.
Starbucks, things of that nature. For people who work from their home, it's pretty hard to do work if you're not able to get cellular signal in
right.
your home. And it's not only voice, it's also data. One of the things that we have found is that 69% of users have voice problems with their cellular signal, but about 50% have users with data problems where they cannot get fast data transmission.
Yeah, actually, it's ironic. We did an 8 o'clock show this morning for Atlanta Legal Experts, and I was over doing some social media, and the phone's working fine, but on Twitter, I was trying to post, and it would three out of the four did one, but one just wouldn't. It wouldn't, I guess the signal wasn't strong enough or something. It wouldn't post for the data issues.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, 90% we did a poll recently in August through Harris Poll and found out that 90% of the adults in the United States actually have some type of smartphone or tablet. Mm-hmm. And because of this, really the need for our product is out there. It's just a matter of getting the word out and getting the awareness that the solution exists.
And would this be a fair statement to say it's kind of like the equivalent of like a wireless router for your internet? It is. Is there a comparative in layman's terms? But,
it basically is, because basically
but this is just for cell phone and
this
data.
This is for cell phone right. and data. It's for Not cell phone internet. And data. It's different right. than the internet. It's different than Wi-Fi. It's
right.
specific mm-hmm. for cellular signal. But it is broadband, so it covers all carriers, AT&T, Verizon, okay. Sprint, mm-hmm. all carriers except Clearwire. But there aren't that many using Clearwire today anyway. But it's basically any carrier, 90 rural carriers, it's going to cover it. And it's for multiple users, too.
Okay.
So if you're in a situation where you're having a dinner party, you have friends over, you may have AT&T in your house, your friends may have Sprint or Verizon, our cell phone signal booster is going to boost that signal for whoever is in your home. You know, some examples of that is I have like an 85-year-old mother, elderly, living up in the Chicago area, very cold, and she only has signal right at the window in her dining room.
Wow.
So, we're trying to reach her on a regular basis, yeah. making sure everything's okay with her. And we installed
And there's
a
missed
booster.
Calls, not just making outbound
absolutely.
Calls, but inbound.
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. And then when you're talking to her, if you don't have a cellular booster in your home, you have what's called like a choppy voice syndrome.
Yeah.
You hear her, you don't hear her, you're missing what she's saying to you. We installed that. My husband installed a booster in her home, and ever since then, we've had clear signal.
Wow. But for certain folks that... you may not want to have a conversation with. Can you put a blocker on there or whatever? You can, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Whatever. Yeah.
That's what caller ID's for.
Oh, okay, nice. Good,
Rich has
good
a lot
answer.
Of those in his life.
Yeah.
Good answer. Okay, so let's talk about cost. If it's fair to ask about, costing or analogy or savings. So a lot of people go to a landline. Most people don't have one, but I
right.
guess the reason why they may have one is because they just, they're frustrated over their. And it's not the cell phone provider. The antennas are out there. It works 90%, but that 10%. They need that landline, right?
Correct. With our signal boosters, you don't really need a landline. You're
right.
going to find that most people are no longer going to landlines. Young kids no longer have landlines installed
well,
in their
nobody
homes.
Well, nobody does. I think the only reason why to add a landline back in your home is because in certain pockets, you have those drop zones in your house. And
right.
it's just like, let me just get a landline. But you're saying
no,
if they did
booster,
a booster.
Exactly. And it's very cost efficient to do
right.
it because it is you're buying the package, the booster itself. There is no reoccurring fees. There's no maintenance fees. There's no software fees. It's a
okay.
one-time expenditure for you. And the bulk of the users would need a booster that's cost less than $200 street price.
Okay.
So
because there is a difference for residential versus commercial, or is it the...
There's
the length, strength of the signal? Or?
It's different based upon the square footage you're trying to cover
okay.
or the number of rooms you're trying to cover. So the larger you're trying to cover, the more it increases in price. And it's really more because of the types of antennas you're installing on the outside. You're going to need a stronger antenna, like in a rural area, to bring that signal that's further away to bring it indoors.
Yeah. Again, in my mind, I'm thinking that, again, the comparative of a wireless router, because there's less expensive, there's more expensive based on the square footage and how
very
strong you need
the signal.
Very
similar from that
yeah.
standpoint. Very
okay.
similar.
So what's the ballpark cost from low to high?
Ballpark cost really is around $200 for okay. the street price for what the average user is going to need. That's going to cover a 2,500 square foot to 3,000 square foot home
uh-huh.
or a small office area. It goes up in price from there, depending upon what type of square footage you want to cover.
And do you have an analogy what they might save if they, were able to eliminate their landline? Probably, what's it about, $300 or $400 a year?
$300 to $400
a year
for a landline. So you
right.
can save yourself.
Because you're
well,
like, you have to pay that every year. In this
yeah.
case, it's a one-time
fee.
It's a one-time
one and done.
Fee. One-time fee. And basically, you're paying for that, within the first couple of months. I myself have myself and my two children on my cellular fee, our bill, and that's actually like around $150 per month.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't know, if you don't always have signal and you're paying $150 per month for your cellular fee, well, within one $200 payment, and you've covered that.
Now, can you get a boost zooming up 400 or whatever in your car?
You can, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
We have a unit called the Mobile One.
Okay.
The Mobile One is actually, street price of that unit is only $79. It's very inexpensive.
Very affordable.
And it basically, again, it's broadband. It covers all users and it's picking the signal up from the outside your car, bringing it in. You mount a very tiny antenna on the roof of your vehicle. You run a very tiny wire or coax cable uh-huh. through the window. Area of your car, bring it into your car, and we have a cradle that basically your phone would sit in, so it's hands-free.
Yeah.
Your phone sits in a cradle, and you're boosting your signal from the outside in while you are driving.
Wow.
So you can fly. Rick, you need one of those for your road trip.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Rick needs it. Yeah. He and I are going to talk afterwards.
Exactly.
I've already
yeah.
given him my business card.
I want one on a battery pack that I can carry around with me.
Mount Kilimanjaro or whatever, yeah. Nice. So, So how can our where can our listeners buy their Z-Boost for their cell phone?
You will find us on most e-tailers, Amazon.com,
really?
BestBuy.com, okay. Walmart.com, mm-hmm. Tiger Direct. You'll find us on most e-tail sites, and that's where I'd recommend going.
And you can get all the accessories there as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, we come kit complete, so we do come with the antennas inside, the coax cable inside. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get something additional, if you want the window entry cable or something of that nature, you can mm-hmm. also buy it online.
And just follow-up questions here. Don't mean to jump in, Rich. But at home, do you plug it into the wall, or is it battery operated?
It is basically it's actually AC. Plugged in. It's AC, okay. So it's right. Plugged in and everything. But it's you're running it through that coax cable is bringing that signal from the outside inside. You plug the unit into the wall. There's mm-hmm. an adapter right there. Plug it in, and it works. It's plug and play.
Okay.
So this is a national brand that people can pick up in all 50 states.
It definitely is. We are nationwide. We also are in Canada, Latin America.
Cool. Well, Karen, it was awesome. I feel like I'm so much more intelligent after I talk to folks like this, right?
Well, you need to get a Z-Boost before you can be more intelligent.
Yeah. I'm trying to sell my Z car right now.
Yeah, you're on your way.
Okay, so tell our listeners what's the best way to get in touch with
us. The best way to get in touch with us is at our website, Z-Boost, ZBOOST.com. So again, that's ZBOOST.com is the best way to reach us. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, but again, I highly recommend going to our website. At the website, you can also find dealers in your area. You can find other people who can help you install the unit if needed. But again, for your average user, it's do-it-yourself. It's less than 1 hour installation.
And if they mention Radio X, they'll get 90% discount compliments from Ryan.
I don't think so.
Just check with Ryan, yeah. All right, well, Karen, thanks again.
Thank you.
Hang around, maybe some questions, follow-up questions from our panel
okay,
here.
Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. So up next, we have switching gears. We're going to talk money now, which should get everybody's attention,
yeah,
right?
I love money.
Right? So Amy Self is here with Capstone Financial. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you here. So tell us a bit about your background, originally from Atlanta, or what have you been doing in a former life before we get into your current goings-on?
Well, actually, I started my career in the financial services industry 20 years.
As a small child?
Yes, 20 years ago when I was 12.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
So over 20 years now.
And we're not talking lemonade. Yeah, you would bypass right past that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I actually started in a small town in Mississippi, Tupelo, birthplace of Elvis.
Absolutely. Been there. Rick, you been there?
I'm sure. Been there, yeah.
And my career took me to Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
So the cold, I got accustomed to that.
Right.
And then actually came back to Georgia about 9 years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. It's
you say you came back to Georgia, so you're originally from?
Well, my uncle lives here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Came to Georgia.
So you have family here?
Yes.
And then, so what do you, we're going to talk about obviously business, but I'm just, what do you do in your free time? Do you have any travel stories to tell or
well,
hobbies
actually,
or adventures?
Oh, absolutely. I love to travel. I just thought a second ago that Rick's going to help you travel. Karen's going to keep you connected. And then I'm going to help you get there financially.
Nice. So nice. You can pay for all
maximize
that.
Maximize
yeah.
that opportunity.
Yeah. Amy's been doing her homework and came prepared. Yeah.
But no, I love to travel. I also love to fish and hunt and do most anything in the outdoors.
Oh, nice.
We have four children. And
well, Ryan may have to take you out on the shooting range. Or, what's the shooting range?
Sharpshooters USA out there in Roswell, Georgia.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Place to go.
So meanwhile, back to the topic at hand. So we're talking Capstone Financial with Amy Self. And so tell us, what's the claim to fame for Capstone Financial? I guess what's, obviously a lot of people in that space playing in that sandbox. What makes y'all a little bit, what's your claim to fame, I guess? Or?
Actually, we've been here in the Atlanta area since 1886.
Wow.
Yeah, we moved into the Empire Building downtown in 1906.
Jeez.
Mayor Livingston was one of our general agents, our first general agent at the time. So right now,
how's he doing? Is he still selling policies?
Oh yeah, he's still carrying on.
Nice.
We're right down the street.
Yeah, you're right here in Buckhead,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
we can almost see us out the window.
Yeah, I can wave down there to Chuck and Chrissy. Hello.
Nice.
We offer a wide variety of financial services, and we also have career opportunities, and we're in a major growth mode throughout, not only here in the Buckhead, Atlanta area, but also throughout the state of Georgia.
Yeah, touch on that. Like, how many offices, how many folks are working with Capstone?
We have over 100 representatives.
Really?
We have 6 sales managers, which is what I do.
Okay.
And we're tasked to grow our network through hiring individuals and also growing our platform and educating individuals with saving money. And that was one thing I thought about whenever we were talking about this is something when I sat down with someone knowing the Z Boost, you could save someone about $50 a month on their if they could eliminate their home phone, mm-hmm. pay a one-time fee with what Karen's Z Boost has, and mm-hmm. that is actually something you don't think about it. But when we sit down with someone, we drill down that far and try to really help people rearrange they can. Travel with, like Rick does.
So it's not just like investing, which obviously is key.
Right, that's
key. But it's
key.
Like, let's look at places where we can pull money from that you're just, you know, throwing out in essence. Yeah, and with today's technologies, there's so many things that you can, you know, leverage. So go back to in your position. So you're responsible for bringing new agents on board?
Yes.
And what are some qualities or that you look for in hiring or, you know, prospecting for a new agent?
That's a great question. I got one last night. An individual asked me, you know, well, you know, do people have to have a financial services or finance? Do they have to have a degree in finance or risk management or what have you? And I mean, I was in television. I couldn't spell. I mean, when right, I was signing exactly, up to go to work, it was an LTD, and I was like, is that a car? You know, it's long-term disability. So numerous backgrounds. We've had individuals that have come from the athletics, coaching, teachers, but most any field, and like I said, it's people that, you know, have a desire to help people, to educate, and to, you know, be a part of something bigger than yourself. That's one of the most rewarding things, is to help people. I have individuals that could be my boss now that I've hired the past few years, and that's something that's very rewarding. And then knowing that when you go sit down with a couple, or if it's a business owner or what have you, that when you leave, they're more financially secure, whether it's through education or you've helped them with their own financial plan.
And I know one area, at least on your website or in preparing for the show, there's an emphasis you're focusing on careers for women in the financial sector. Can you talk about that?
Yes, actually, I've worked in the women's markets for the past several years. There's not very many women that are in the financial services. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't expect me to come in the door if you're going to roll your 401k over. So the focus is women do very, very well. There's many studies out there that women actually do even better than men that when they join the financial services industry. And
what do you attribute that to, do you think?
Because I guess we're good listeners.
Multitasking.
That was a loaded question, because we're just better all the way around.
And because women are accustomed to multitasking, we've actually had some great stories of women that maybe dual income families, they stayed home until the kids were school age, but
they're
highly
juggling
educated,
a lot.
And when the kids go to school, what am I going to do now? And so we've hired some great individuals there. And it's, of course, we have a great retirement plan and benefits program and a great training program. I think that's one of the things that we have, that we go out there with you and help you grow your market. And I think our marketing is probably one of the where we are a little bit different. We stay on the cutting edge.
Because it's interesting, you mentioned earlier on about the history behind Capstone, but, you know, I've live in Sandy Springs, obviously the studio here in Buckhead, been in and out of Buckhead over the years, and I've heard of Capstone, and I thought they were just primarily located here in Buckhead, but you have other offices
absolutely. We
throughout
have,
Georgia? Or
oh, yes, North Georgia, and currently I'm in charge of an expansion from Central to South Georgia all the way to the Florida line. So we have office in Valdosta, we're opening another one in Albany, and then there's also one in Central Georgia, Macon, Warner Robins area.
So you guys hiring at all different levels, because for those new openings, you need management people there as well as, you know, agents.
Agents, staff, marketing, yes. Yeah. So it's.
And do you see like an uptick? You know, what do you attribute some of this growth with y'all's organization? Is it, you know, you don't want to kind of jinx it, but I think we're, you know, some of the, you know, past was in our rearview mirror, right? And so do you see like people that are, you know, now looking for new positions and want to kind of move forward with the economy? You think the economy's is working in your favor?
Well, we've had the perfect financial storm over the past few years. One of the reasons I think the career is we're growing so much is every day 10,000 people turn age 65, and that's going to continue for the next 17 years, and that represents a bulk of the wealth. So those individuals, there's fewer financial services representatives than there's more demand than there is supply. And we're also, if you can imagine, there's organizations that have the same issue that we're having, where you also have your field force retiring. So that creates more career opportunities. But just retirement planning, whether you're in the stage where you're growing assets or in the stage where you're distributing them. We help on both sides of that.
Yeah, you've talked to, obviously, it seems like a key part of the component here is retirement. What other aspects of financial planning do folks seek you out for?
We do, of course, the usual risk management, long-term and short-term disability.
Okay.
We work with business owners in the area of employee benefits.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. Life insurance, of course, and any sort of financial asset management and mutual funds, college planning,
okay.
All that fun stuff.
And, anything else, some, you know, tips or I don't know if it's kind of fair to put you on the spot or whatever, because I know you have a lot of compliance issues or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just
kind
a few.
Yeah, just a few. But is there any kind of takeaways or from, you know, when you typically have a conversation with someone, is there something that kind of like just seems to be a reoccurring, you know, question or a red flag or some, you know, some type of tip for our listeners in terms of money management, I guess?
Well, usually, a lot of times what we find is, you know, someone, they don't want to look. They've had their 401k and they're, this week is going great. You should have really good numbers. But they'll take their statements and just like throw them at me and like turn their head. Don't tell me. Please tell me good news. Is this going to last?
Yeah.
The key is just sit down with someone that's qualified, that can help you organize. There's so many times you don't know. You can rearrange just a few things. You can change some limits on your automobile policy and save money.
Yeah.
What we just talked about, simple things. We really get to know our clients, and then we meet with them at least once or twice a year. And I think that's key. Just seek
like
out a good financial.
That was my next question. How often should you meet? So once or twice a year, at
if
least.
If there's any changes, but generally we do a good job of staying in touch, so at least you'll get an email or a birthday card or something. That, you know, at least we'd say, hey, we're here if you need us in between your annual checkups and reviews.
Speaking of that, obviously, we're going to finish with your contact information, but how do folks typically find you, or how do you find them, or what's your challenge in finding folks?
Well, our marketing a lot is done face-to-face and building relationships, developing centers of influence. We do use social media quite a bit. We have our website, LinkedIn.
I was going to ask you about that, but aren't your hands a little bit tied on social media with, again, compliance issues? Or
absolutely. We have.
You'd be very careful with that, right?
Oh,
I mean, you
exactly.
can't go crazy like Rick here or whatever.
Yeah,
just anything. Say anything he wants or whatever. Yeah.
You get 10% guaranteed for the next 20 years. So we can't do that.
No.
We do. But
you just have a presence there. So it's more like you're not necessarily reaching out to them, but they can find you.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
And then speaking of that, how would folks find out about you?
Well, you can reach me on my email address,
and
it's aself@financialguide.com. And also on my cell phone number, I'm 478-973-4317. And our website is www.capstonefinancialga.com.
Nice.
So, and I'm also on LinkedIn, Amelia or Amy Self. You will be able to pull me up either way.
And that's your real last name?
Yes, really.
Because I was looking at the information earlier, and like Amy herself is going to be here, whatever. Yes.
Yeah, we pulled into Houston's parking lot, and it had self parking like it was
a
sign. I'm like, oh,
there's a lot.
I'm like, God, these guys are so nice here. Save me a spot.
And so your cell phone. How do you say that? I'm not even sure how to say that. Yeah. So, Amy, it was a pleasure having you here. And again, time permitting, maybe everybody will get to ask you their burning financial question and put you on the spot. And we appreciate you being here this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And up next, we have Leslie Cuban is joining us in the studio here this morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah. So patiently hanging out. And we've got some exciting news talking about franchising and business development before we get into that. So the company you're currently working with is FranNet, and you're a consultant here in Atlanta since 1999.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on our 16-year anniversary in February.
Wow, so you survived Y2K, remember that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Oh,
I haven't heard that one in a while, right?
Throwback.
Throwback.
I still have 100 cans of soup in my basement.
Oh,
kidding.
You're a prepper.
We're all coming over for dinner tonight or whatever, for the whole weekend, and that's a good occasion for this weather. So now you, your role is to provide education about the franchise world, right? Assisting folks, and you've helped over 300 people. Wow. One by one, right? Transition from their corporate to entrepreneurship or business ownership. And a lot of it is kind of face-to-face. You've graduated from Vanderbilt University, and you've also operated family-owned franchises and became, as we mentioned, a franchise owner in 96. The first franchise was Mailbox Etc., mm-hmm. now known as UPS Store. Okay, and 26 years. So Karen, she's got you beat by 1 year.
There
you go. Yeah, you're just a kid over there, Karen. Whatever. Yeah. So 26 year pioneer in your industry, and you've been recognized in by Inc. magazine, top 500 fastest growing companies. Lots to talk about. You were also a guest lecturer at Emory University, Georgia Tech, and KSU. And so I want to hear about maybe some of those topics when you're called on to speak. But tell us a little bit about your background. So at least you've been in Atlanta since 99, all your life? Or
no, my family moved here from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
Out of the, where they've got 3 feet of snow right now.
Everybody's coming south.
Thank goodness for that.
Everybody's coming
we
south.
We love the south.
Okay, so I'm probably the only southerner from Miami or whatever.
Yeah, I migrated north.
There you go. All right, so... And so what were you doing in a former life before you got into Franet? I mean, you mentioned even before the UPS or mailbox store.
You know, my degree was in communication studies.
Okay.
And what I studied lent towards going into something in the film or television industry,
right.
Which today, you know, graduating today with that degree, coming back to Atlanta would be a great place for
timing.
That. But there was a zilcho back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I was not about to move to L.A. or New York and... You know, live on peanuts with five roommates for 20
right,
years
right,
in,
yeah.
in that industry. So, you know, my family had been in the franchise world. In St. Paul, my dad worked for 3M Company, and division mergers were happening back in the early 80s, and he was a part of that and decided he didn't want to stay in corporate and so was looking for how could I get into business in my own way
right.
somehow. Recognize that he's not an entrepreneur in the sense of being the guy to create something, you're the next, you
right.
know, well, they didn't have cell phone apps back then.
They didn't even call them startups
Yeah.
No. There's no crowdfunding.
Yeah, he didn't even know what the word entrepreneur was.
Right, right. Yeah.
But in his research on how to start a business, he found franchising, and that snowballed into my family owning a variety of franchises in light retail and business services.
What were
primarily.
Some of those up in St. Paul?
No, we or moved. He moved to Atlanta. His first franchise was a VR Business Brokers. Franchise.
Okay, okay.
So back then in the 80s, it's helping people buy and sell sandwich shops, coin laundries, things like that.
So come a little bit full circle almost to whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's the progression is really interesting that, you know, for most people, buying an independent business was not a good experience. And franchising was regulated in 1979. So back in the 80s, a lot more companies started using franchising to grow. So businesses like mailboxes, et cetera, Sylvan Learning Centers, Moto Photo, they started growing, and my dad hooked himself to those very young businesses. So our family owned different businesses. As a area representative, he was helping other people into these different businesses. So I grew up in that environment. I had run a car wash, a photo finishing business.
Really?
So I graduated college knowing how to run small businesses, not really knowing that I knew how to do
right,
it.
Right, right.
But... when I decided the whole film thing wasn't going to work for me, he helped me acquire a failing mailboxes business.
Okay.
And so that was my entrance into small business right out of college.
It's interesting because the original franchise concept would go back as far as like the 50s or whatever, right?
Singer Sewing Machine in the 1800s was
oh, wow.
the
there you go.
Original franchise. Yes.
Really? That's crazy mm-hmm. to imagine. So that was sold as a franchise operation. They had storefronts and they were authorized dealers for Singer? Or?
I don't know how that...
Yeah,
I told you what I know.
More than yes. I did or whatever, yeah. But basically, so you attribute like in the early 80s was the big boom, if you would say,
yeah.
for the where it really kind of took hold?
Yeah, because prior to that, it was kind of the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of fraud and a lot of the blind leading the blind. And so franchising as a means of growing a business became under control of the Federal Trade Commission. And a lot of disclosure laws were put in place, which really are the protection for both parties, the franchisor and franchise owners. So that continues today, and it's a good thing.
Absolutely. It gives it more structure, and that's the, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, obviously, but that's probably one of the biggest selling points is buying a turnkey operation that has some history, some track record, and at least some, you have a little, you know, leg up on, you know, the possibility of success rather than just going out on your own, you know, blind or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So so talk about trends coming up in 2015 for franchising.
Yeah, I see some, I think some continuance of what I've started to see this year. We're seeing a lot more multi-generational clients. I mean, baby boomer aged parents, millennial aged children, you know, in their 20s, coming out of college, where the job market is, you know, not as attractive as they would like it to be for, you know, for the younger folks that have great skills and want the opportunity to grow and secure a business future for themselves. So I'm seeing a lot more parent-child clients coming forward.
And you're saying where they combine forces and they're working together like a family business.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm an example of that.
Yeah, yeah.
My father and I have been in business together for 17 plus years.
Right, right.
Now.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the myths, you know, about franchises versus independent or a startup or a business?
Well, there's lots of them, but one of my favorites is, you know, with a franchise, you're going to pay fees.
Yeah.
You know, I do that myself.
Yeah.
There's ongoing fees that you pay. There's upfront fees that you pay. And a myth will be, well, gosh, that's going to make your profit less if you're paying those fees versus starting that same kind of business on an independent business. And once in a while, that might be true. But by and large, what you're buying are systems and track records and supply chain and marketing systems that allow you to grow a much bigger business than independents are going to be in that same space.
And all the tools and resources and branding. I mean, you may or may not be familiar with this franchise, but a while back I owned Coffee News, which is a franchise, it's a publication, right? My entree into media, but it's print media. And it was a great publication, a great business, but it was nice because I could focus on business development. And they didn't take care of everything else, but it was, but also support teams. So they had conferences and events I could attend, and there was 200 publishers around the country. So you had this community built in, mm-hmm. and yet you still could be your maverick in your own bubble and do your own thing, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Within certain limitations. So speaking of that, you know, we talked to Amy about who's a good candidate. Who's a good candidate? You mentioned multi-generational, but are there some criteria or some things people or the listeners are saying? You know, franchising, that sounds good to me. Are there certain characters that's like you're not probably, it's going to be a good fit for you? And there's some on the other end that's like,
yep.
you're just
There's
perfect.
Multiple forms of business ownership. Franchising's one of them. And okay. there's certain people who are wired for that and others who are not. And one of my favorite phrases I've heard about franchising is that franchising is a triumph of execution over the triumph of a novel idea. So franchising is great for people like me who are self-directed, mm-hmm. who are ambitious, who can make decisions, are good at business, but don't have and don't really care to have the brilliant idea of and then take the risk of starting something from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So franchising is great for people who want to own a business but are going to be more comfortable in an environment where the track is already there for you
right.
to run your train on.
Because I don't know if the statistic still holds true, but it's like most small businesses, startups, their first 3 years is critical. It's do or
sure
die.
Is.
If they make it into their fourth year, they're 80% more likely to succeed. But it's that first 3 years that most of them, 80% of them fail. So if you're buying into a franchise that's been around X number of years, I mean, it's just the odds are more in your favor. There's no
it's
guarantees, right?
It's a tremendous
right?
risk mitigation strategy when franchising works. Mm-hmm. And I'll be the first to say it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But when it works, it can be a terrific way to reduce your learning curve, reduce your risk, and get up and running faster.
Well, speaking of franchises, it's just I had a bulb went off, and as well as the on-air light is on. But the Business Radio X, we're not technically a franchise, but it is in media terms, it's an affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the NBC or the ABC affiliate, Business Radio X, we have studios throughout Atlanta and other markets, and it is a more of a licensee arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so
good.
Just thought I'd interject that. But I don't know if they would consider, which is kind of leads to my next question. There was a reason for that, is that if the owners would consider developing into a true franchise, and then they would what? Offer it in your toolbox? And then this is a two-part question, not specifically just on Business Radio X, but are there ventures out there? I don't know about ZBoost because you're kind of all over whatever. But
we are. We're nationwide.
Yeah, yeah. But for Atlanta, obviously, there's – I don't know. This is probably almost the epicenter of, you know, startup, especially tech. Mm-hmm. But for those folks, how do they go about, I guess, getting into your portfolio for FranNet or being adopted or, you know
Good question. Thank you for that. And it's a process that FranNet's been in business for we're in our 27th year, and we're in a nice spot to be very selective of what franchises we want to work with. So there's some, you know, a list of criteria. To make it in franchising today, you have to be very well funded. There's over 200 franchise brands created every year and growing, and a lot of them are not going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
That you've got to really understand the franchising model. So we're looking for companies. They can be young companies, but are they well funded? Who owns them? Where's the money coming from? Who on the team really understands how to grow a franchise? You know, you may be great in your business, but you've also got to be great at the franchising business.
Being a team player or whatever, right? I mean, because, well, you know, if you want to be always in the driver's seat, calling all the shots, and you're not that coachable, that's probably not a fit, right?
It's a joint partnership.
Yeah,
you know, the franchisees are not employees.
Right.
And you can't treat them like that. There are certain standards that have to be adhered to, but we are independent business operators that don't want someone breathing down our neck every day.
But on the other side, you can't just be, I'm going to buy this franchise and start changing all the rules or whatever, right?
Yeah. There's a balance there.
Getting to the coffee business. Well, I'm going to serve pizza this week. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know why I'm thinking of that. It's close to lunch here, but it says here on the our notes, there's over 3,500 franchise options, and that's overwhelming.
And growing. I mean, yep.
Mm-hmm. So, but now, do y'all, how many with FranNet do y'all represent, or it's in your portfolio, I guess, or...
At any given time, there'll be a couple hundred,
okay.
And we like to bring on a couple new ones every month. Again, that's after a rigid due diligence process on our part, both nationally and locally. And we specialize in light retail, business services, and home services. Restaurants and hotels are great, mm-hmm. but they're not great for most of our clients.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk money for a second. So, you know, Amy's teed up our conversation about finance and money. So with talking about money, what's a low end to a high end? Is there really like, and actually, Ryan, if you want to jump in here, I don't know if you all talked in the green room beforehand, but you also were involved in a franchise.
Yes. I have a home dog training franchise that I do. I got out of the Army in 2010 and wanted to go into business for myself. I was tired of being told what to do and just, but I didn't know what to do. So I spent a lot of time scouring the internet, reaching out to folks to find something that fit my line.
And that franchise is?
Bark Busters, home dog training.
So you don't yell at dogs or whatever.
No, who are you going to call?
Yeah, exactly. Bark Busters. Nice, yeah. So, are you familiar with that? I mean,
yes.
there's thousands.
We have over 200 trainers around the country,
yes.
as well as seven different countries mm-hmm. around the world. But I'm in my fourth year of doing business now as Bark Busters and maybe looking to transition away from that. Would you help? Somebody
Myself selling. Are you a broker or can provide brokership or like somebody like Ryan wants to sell this franchise?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's very attractive, and that's something that's very unique to our operation here in Atlanta. Remember, my dad started off as a business broker,
mm-hmm. yeah. okay.
and so franchise resales represent about 20% of our business.
Okay.
So
okay.
that can be a very good option for someone is to buy someone's up and running business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's. Again, it needs to be a sellable business, and some mm-hmm. are and some are not. But that's we're always looking for good resale opportunities.
And what is that process you find, you know, guide that individual through to find that right business? I wish I had somebody like FranNet when I first started because I looked at a lot of options and finally just narrowed it down on my own. But what is your kind of method of finding that?
There's a punch list of things, and I'll abbreviate it here. So let's assume that it's a good industry and a good franchise company.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of research to go into just those two points.
Yes.
But then it really dials down to the person as an individual. You've got financials are an easy way to start filtering
yep.
it, the upfront cost,
mm-hmm.
What's the ramp time? You know, do you have enough money to carry yourself through the ramp time for the business and for your personal needs? Is it available in the market you want to be?
I was going to, talking about money, I mean, this is a two-part question again. So what's the low end to the high end of like those 200 or so in your portfolio? What's the least entry-level person might could pay for a franchise and the highest?
Someone's got $40,000 to $50,000
really?
Of their own money. They will have a span of options.
Okay.
And that money can be cash. It can be home equity. It can be money in a retirement plan or other.
Do you recommend financial partners or whatever or funding sources or you don't do that in-house, but I mean, do you have within your network, if they're saying, well, Leslie, I'm very interested. I need to put together $100,000 for this venture.
Yeah. The funding
Amy
strategy.
Or Susan or Bob. Or
well, that's a huge piece of it. I mean, that's a big part of the conversations that we have with all of our clients. And the good news is, you know, the spigot has turned back on for business financing.
Absolutely.
Again, I mean, it was dry a few years ago, but it's back.
What about crowdfunding? Any success for that? Where I don't have a lot of experience with that.
And I don't know that, honestly, that that would be appropriate for someone for buying most, a franchise business.
Now, what about, what's the highest that somebody might write a check to buy a franchise that you all represent on the high end?
If someone's going to entertain a master development type of business where you're going to be the guy or gal who owns the market for that business. I mean, it could be...
The franchisor?
You become a franchisor.
Master, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So $250,000 to buy master rights. You know, most of our clients, the all-in investment is about $300,000 or under.
That's a good follow-up. And then finally, staying on the topic of monies, and we got to roll on here, is what might someone expect to pay y'all's fees, or how does that work as far as, say, okay, you narrowed it down to five franchises, I'm going to pick one, so... Who do I write the check to, or how does that work?
No check comes to me, which is good news. Not from the prospective franchise inquirer. Our business model is such where there's no cost to attend any of my education events or sit down with me in a one-on-one consultation basis. Our funding comes from the portfolio of franchises.
Okay. So they pay like a finder's fee for that placement almost, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our fee doesn't make the cost of the business more or less to the individual. So it's the same. There's no cost differential there.
It's like a realtor a broker scenario a little bit, yeah.
That would be an analogy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then finally, I had one other question before we wrap that. Oh, you mentioned seminars. Are there events or occasions where a group of people can gather and kind of an educational...
I'm offering an event live and online every month.
Okay.
So that's a big part of how I market myself.
Absolutely.
Is providing education opportunities. So that's always something that is an option for someone to come and learn.
And I see you're on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. What's the best way for folks to reach out and get in touch?
I'd say LinkedIn. I'm an avid LinkedIn networker. Okay. I love helping people connect themselves to their next opportunity. So Leslie Cuban, K-U-B-A-N, and actually, if you Google Leslie Franchise, I will come up.
Okay. And you got franet.com/LCuban. That's with a K?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
K-U-B-A-N. No relation to Mark?
We're friends on Facebook.
Oh, that's
Mark,
right.
Yes. Oh, you are?
Uh-huh.
I'm a big fan of Shark Tank or whatever. Love
that's
that.
Good show.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if how are we doing on time, Ryan?
About 5 more minutes left.
Oh, okay. Cool. So I don't know if folks have any follow-up questions from our panel here or from our gallery. Any thoughts?
I have a question.
Okay.
First of all, we use a term in our business because there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of, it's an entrepreneur type position. And when you were describing the franchise, I use the term whenever I'm interviewing someone, it's an opportunity to be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. And I was glad to see that you offered online training because that's awesome. Yeah. I had a question for Rick. Do you have like entourage opportunities so that people can go with?
Yeah.
Or are you looking at expanding into that in the future?
And for our listeners, real quick, this is Amy Self with Capstone Financial asking the question. Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Come on. If you can pay your way, come on with me. We're glad to have anybody.
How about interns, huh?
Yeah. Hey, interns. We get a lot of intern offers. But I got a question for you, Amy. You went to Vanderbilt. So
yes.
I love the pancake pantry. How much time did you spend there? And can you franchise them and get one? Get them down here.
Oh, boy. You know, I remember the law. You know, it kind of got old. It's like, it's good. It's really good. But at some point, you get tired and wait in that line outside a pancake pantry. But those lines are still there.
I know. I stood in one last time I was in Nashville.
So. Oh, really? I saw online somewhere where it was a franchise or at least a store. All they sold was, in their entire place, was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Like, really?
Well. Doesn't seem like that go over that
way. Yeah, right. Yeah.
there's one coming out that only does grilled cheese and soup, like gourmet.
Tom Cheese or whatever, right?
I haven't been on one yet.
But it was on Shark Tank, and it's coming to Atlanta.
There's a grilled cheese food truck that goes around town as well. Yeah.
But there was one that was on Shark Tank, and it's called, clever name. I'm trying to tell you about Tom and Cheese or something like that. But yeah, it was just, and that's a franchise. So yeah, speaking of that, what about travel franchises or any like...
Yeah, there's some in the cruise business.
Mm-hmm. Really? How does that work? You buy your own cruise ship? Or
No, they specialize in, I can't remember the name of it, but I think that business has changed. I've seen a lot of there used to be some robust travel franchise models, but they've kind of gone by the wayside. I just haven't seen any
There's so much competition online or whatever. I mean, you don't really find a travel agency, a storefront, you know, walk into a travel agent, right?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah. No, there are some really high-end travel agencies that will specialize in things that you can't just research online.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks to Expedia for putting all those folks out of business. We appreciate that. So, Karen, Amy, Rick, Leslie, it was a pleasure having you all here this morning.
Great show. Oh, great show.
Thank you
Ryan,
so much.
What did you think?
I thought it was great. Like I said, cold outside, but hot talk in here, and I think our listeners really enjoyed it today.
Yeah, and you may have an offer for your BarkBusters.
We'll see about that.
But I don't know if it's a good idea to be announcing that on the radio.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah.
So, thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll see you all next time on the radio.